Hello and welcome to the Gregory Dickow podcast. My name is Rob, and in just a moment, you'll hear from my dad, Gregory Dickow, with his latest Sunday message from Life Changers Church. But before we do that, I wanted to let you know about a season we are in called Heart for the House. This is where we take several weeks out of the year to celebrate what God is doing in and through our global church family. Listen, we could not do what we do without the faithful generosity of our church family and our ministry partners. And if you want to see more of the impact that your giving is making, or if you'd like to make a gift, a donation towards Heart for the House, you can head over to gregorydickow.com/heart. The link is in the description. And on behalf of my dad and our entire church family, I want to thank you for your generosity. And now for the content you've been waiting for. Here is the latest message from Gregory Dickow. Enjoy.
Thank you so much for connecting with us. As you've heard, all of the amazing things that we get to be a part of, and we get to multiply our impact. One can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight, the Bible says. What a supernatural, exponential impact that we get to have together, because we're better together, and we're staying together, and we're staying with it, right? And there's so many things I want to share with you today, and I want to pray for you, and I want to celebrate with you, as this is the finale of our Heart for the House celebration. But I'm really celebrating you and what God wants to do in your life today. And God is celebrating you. He's smiling at you. No matter what's gone on in your life, God is smiling at you because He's proud of you. You've made it this far. He's proud of you. You've stuck with it. He's proud of you that you've pressed on. He's proud of you that you, even when you've fallen, you've gotten up. And I would hope that you got up quickly, but even if you didn't get up quickly, you got up and God helped you up. And God is smiling at you because He loves you. He's smiling at you because He knows your story doesn't end there. He knows that the greatest chapters of your life are yet ahead of you. So that's why He's smiling. He smiles at the future because He's already been there and He's created a more blessed future for you than you could ever imagine. And that's why He's smiling. He's even laughing sometimes because some of the things that we take so seriously, He knows, oh, that's going to get so much better in the next chapter. That's going to get so much better towards the end of your story, closer and closer to the great finish. And finishing strong and finishing, going across the finish line and seeing Him and knowing that you made it, knowing that you trusted, knowing that He got you there, because faithful is He who began a good work, and He too will finish it until the day of Christ Jesus. And all that's left for us to do really is to give Him glory. So when we're on top of the mountain, we give Him glory because He got us there. But when we're in the bottom of the valley, we give Him glory because He's with us there, and He is pulling us out and taking us through. So, but there's something really supernatural about what I want to share with you today and what God's Word has to say to us today. And then I want to pray for you. But when the pandemic started in 2020, and I don't know if people are tired of referencing that, I think we're still referencing it because we're still in some ways dealing with the tail end of it as well. But the first thing that God spoke to me during the pandemic was right around April of 2020. And He said, "Believe me for increase." And maybe some of you have heard me share that, and I've mentioned it a few times, but it really hit me and struck me so strong and just struck such a chord in my soul. And I knew that it was the voice of God. To the best of my ability to hear the voice of God, it was for sure the voice of God. And He said, "Believe me for increase." And God went on to say to me, "Believe me for increase. You can decrease all by yourself, but with me, you're going to increase. Believe me for increase, because you can decrease all by yourself, but with me, you're going to increase." And so I began to study the scriptures on the many, many times where God promises increase. And I want to go through those with you. And I want you to see what you should be expecting to increase in your life, because God is the God of increase. And as we heard last week, He's the God of restoration. And God will restore to you what's been stolen, the years, the time, the opportunities, the health, the finances, the relationships. He's going to restore. He's going to bring all those things back. God specializes in finding lost things and restoring them. And He's going to save our family members, and He's going to save our loved ones, and everybody we pray for is going to have a breakthrough, and you're going to have a breakthrough. Well, today is Breakthrough into Increase, and seven promises of increase today that I want you to hear about and I want you to grab hold of and latch onto. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11, watch this. It says, "May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as He has promised you." Now, God always blesses just as He has promised. He always does just as He promised. And I want you to have a just as He promised moment right now. I want you to say this out loud. Say, "I believe in the God of increase. I believe God is going to increase me and bless me." Say that out loud. "I believe God is going to increase me and bless me just as He has promised." We don't want to be increased. We don't want to increase in areas that God didn't promise. We want to increase in areas where God did promise. So say that. "God is going to increase me and bless me just as He promised." Oh, that's powerful, and it really calms my soul and gives me peace and joy and confidence. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, just to give you the Spirit of God, the heart of God in verse 11 in the Message Bible, He says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. He said, we didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I want to tell you, your life isn't small, but maybe you're living it in a small way. You're living with small expectations. Today is the day to elevate our expectations and to elevate our anticipation and elevate our faith, and God's going to manifest greater things in your life than you've ever thought. He said, I'm speaking as plainly as I can with you with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Expect increase. Expect. Open your mind. He says, live openly. Open your mind. Open your hands. Open your arms. Open your heart. Open your home to a webcast, to a watch party. Open your home to a life group. But we have to expect that God is going to bring us souls and bring us breakthroughs and bring us above and beyond all that we can ask or think. Don't close your mind. Open it wide. Don't define and confine God to a limited space, the small things that He can do. He does the small things, but He does the big things too. And He does exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think. As Paul said, I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. When he says you're living small lives, not because you're small, but because you think you are. And he's like, open up and expect big. Think big, ask big, believe big, expect big, sow big, reap big, love big, forgive big. Every good thing, expect to do it big and expect God to do it even bigger. Woo! I love that. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. You know, for those of you that have studied the Bible much and you understand one of the great women in the Bible, Ruth, she's such a great woman and such a great book of the Bible. When we read the story of Ruth, the young widow from Moab, she worked gleaning harvests in a barley field from morning till evening in the fields of Boaz. And now, before you get too excited about Boaz, like she finds eventually, right, her Prince Charming in Boaz. But before everybody starts getting too excited about your Prince Charming like Boaz, this is a picture of you and Jesus. Remember, this is a picture of you and Jesus. So it's not a picture of you and some guy. It's a picture of you and Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're single, you can't believe for a wife, for a husband, if you're a lady. And if you're married, doesn't believe that your marriage can't get better. It can. But I want you to trust God, that God is your source. The relationship between Ruth and Boaz is really a relationship between you and the Lord. And that's what I want you to see. And I want you to understand the picture that is being painted here. That if you look in verse 17 of Ruth 2, it says, "So she gleaned in the field until evening." So she spent all day gleaning in the field. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, for those of you like me who don't know what an ephah is, so you got to look it up. At this time, an ephah was about a 10-day supply. So I want you to think about, she worked just one day, but she gleaned 10 days worth of a harvest from the one day of work that she had given. And I want you to frankly see that she did do the work for one day, but to get 10 times more than what her work could have done or what her work could have produced, it's a miracle of increase. And I want you to see how this miracle of increase took place. In verse 17, it tells us what the increase was, 10 days worth of harvest. But in verse 16, we see the secret. It says that Boaz said to the people that worked for him, "Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." In other words, Boaz told his men there, the servants who were working for him, "Take some of the barley that's already been harvested and drop it along the path of where she's working." And it became 10 times more because Boaz was putting more back in the harvest field for her, where she didn't have to work for it. All she had to do was collect it. That's why it was 10 days worth, because he had put the increase into her life. And I want you to know that as you're doing what you know God's called you to do, as you're walking with God, as you're doing your work heartily unto the Lord, God is going to add supernaturally to your harvest. It's not going to be that you reap only what you sow. You're going to have a supernatural increase of harvest because he's constantly sending angels, sending people, sending opportunities, sending increase in your life that you could not earn in your own power, but God gave you because of his grace. He is the God of increase. Can we just expect that in our lives today, that no matter what good you're doing, God's going to increase it supernaturally, multiply that supernatural harvest back to you while you're doing it, and you're only going to be able to realize it because it's going to be so great, only God could get the glory for it. And that's what you can expect, and I want to encourage you to expect that today. All right, let's keep going. So it was because of Boaz that Ruth had gathered so much, and you are the Ruth, and Jesus is the Boaz, and it's only because of Jesus that you are going to have supernatural increase. He causes people to favor us. He causes people to drop blessings on us because he loves us. And he causes us to reap and gather those blessings and harvests that we didn't even earn. And that's why it's so important to remember that it's God who gave us the increase. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, "Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth.'" He said, "But you shall remember that the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Remember the Lord your God. Sometimes great things happen and we forget who caused them to happen, and we forget that it was God who did it. And we get so caught up in the blessing that we miss out on the one who provided the blessing, the blesser. We get so caught up in the provision, we forget about the provider, as we sang about last week, Jehovah Jireh. And it is He that gives you the power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Wow. So I want you to see a picture of God's intention for our lives. He's the God of increase. Now let me give you the seven areas of your life to expect increase in according to the promises of God. Number one, God wants to increase you in favor. He wants to increase you in favor. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says that God surrounds the righteous with favor like a shield. It is You who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. We're only righteous. Remember, we're righteous by the blood of Jesus. We're made the righteousness of God. He became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. You are a righteous man or woman right now because of Jesus Christ. You have received the gift of righteousness. And so all of God's promises, even in the Old Testament, about the promises to the righteous apply to you, not because you do righteous all the time, but because you are righteous all the time through the blood of Jesus, and only He gets the glory again, right? So it is You, Lord, who bless the righteous. You surround him with favor as with a shield. A shield is a source of protection. A shield is a source of favor. You surround him with favor as with a shield. Wow. That no matter what the enemy sends to defeat you, God bends to complete you. No matter what the enemy sends to destroy you, God bends to employ you, to deploy you, to turn around whatever the enemy is trying to do in your life. That's favor. The devil sends some sort of negative word, negative thought, negative experience, negative circumstance. Life brings negative circumstances, but God surrounds you with a shield so that those negative things might happen to you, but they don't affect you. They don't control you. God turns it from those things happening to you to those things happening for you, and it turns into your favor. It turns into something good. It turns into something supernatural in your favor, supernatural to your success, to your progress. It's going to bring favor. No matter what comes against you, it's going to turn into favor, because that's what being surrounded with a shield of favor actually means. Wow. So number one, God will surround us with favor. He will increase us with favor. He wants to increase you in favor. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, in the New American Standard Bible, it says, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And if we belong to Christ, we're the heirs of this. If the Bible says that just as He is, so are we in this world. If Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, as He was growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, that's what you can expect in your life, to grow in wisdom and to stature and in favor with God and men, with God and mankind, humankind, however you want to put it. There is wisdom and stature and favor increasing in your life. And I want somebody to say, that's me. That's talking about me. If it's talking about Jesus, it's talking about you, because as He is, so are we in this world, right? 1 John chapter 4 tells us, but let's go on. Number two, God wants to increase you in power and strength. Man, God wants you to have the power to get through whatever you're going through. He wants to increase you with the strength to handle whatever you're facing, whatever comes against you, to have the strength to overcome it. Whenever you're weary, to have the strength to overcome it. Whenever you're struggling and something's beating you, something's defeating you, God said He promises to give you strength, promises to increase you in power and in strength. Wow. Look at what it says in Psalm 75, verse 10. Read it to you from the New Living Translation. I will break the strength of the wicked, but I will increase the power of the godly. That's you and that's me. We're the godly. We are made in His image. We are born again, and when we're born again, we are godly. When we're born again, we are like Him. I will break the strength of the wicked, but I will increase the power of the godly. Say, God's going to increase my power. God's going to increase my strength. Amen? Wow. In Judges chapter 14, verse 6 in the New King James Bible, it says something very powerful. The Spirit of the Lord came upon, it's talking about Samson here. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. As if, like, in the natural strength, you could tear a goat in half, but in the supernatural strength, you can tear a lion in half. Woo! Powerful. Now he says, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. I want you to see, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. That word mightily means to rush, to advance, to prosper, to cause to prosper, to break out, to push forward. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson so mightily that it pushed him forward. It caused him to break forth. It caused him to have breakthrough. It caused him to have strength. It caused him to have power. It caused him to advance. God wants to increase you in that same way. A lot of people learned about Samson thinking Samson had this special strength, that he was this big, huge man with this special strength. But it wasn't that he was a big, huge man. It was that he was an ordinary man with an extraordinary God. And that's what I can admit about myself. I'm an ordinary man with an extraordinary God. You might be an ordinary man or woman with an extraordinary God, and the Spirit of the Lord will come mightily upon you. Now, the Spirit lives inside of us, and He's going to come mightily upon us as well. And we can expect supernatural increase of power and increase of strength. Number three, God promises to increase us in the knowledge of God. Now, the word knowledge is the precise and correct knowledge of God. You know, with each passing day in my life, as I've been more reflective over the last couple years and been more, maybe a combination of increasing in age and also the pause that our world was put on and the slow moving progress back to, not back to normal, because we don't want to go back to normal. We want to go back to something supernatural and something different and something really a revival of a stripping away of the complicated things in our lives and a revival of God's supernatural strength and a revival of the simplicity of the gospel, a revival and an awakening and a reimagining of what life can be, where it's not full of stress, where it's not full of anxiety, where we're not constantly running on empty, but that we're living in the peace of God and the simplicity of His grace. And what I've learned over these last couple of years, and each day that passes, I'm getting a more precise knowledge from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit revealing it to me, to my experience and my relationship with God, because we don't just have a relationship with the Bible. We have a relationship with God Himself. The Bible is a tool to introduce us to the stories that tell the story of how good God really is and what He's done for us and what He's done in us. But it's a relationship with God that we have. And the more I've gotten to know Him over these last couple years, the more I've taken the time to get to know Him better. I've gotten more precise and accurate knowledge of His goodness, a more precise and accurate knowledge of His grace. And with each passing day, I'm expecting an increase in that knowledge. Not an increase in knowing facts and figures and things, but an increase in knowing God, in the knowledge of the Lord, in really understanding what He's like and what He wants for me and what He wants for you. And He says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. I love that verse. Increasing in the knowledge of God. And I love it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. He says similar. Well, let me go on to the fourth thing. Before I get to that, I want to say, I just pray for you right now for a supernatural increase in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of who He is, in the knowledge of how much He loves you, in the knowledge of how good He is, in the knowledge of how faithful He is. I pray for that in Jesus' name, for your life. And I want you to know that when I look back at my life, 5 years, 10 years, I look back and go, you know what? I really have. If you go back to when I started reading the Bible 35, 40 years ago to today, I have a lot of things I believed then that I didn't have precise knowledge about. I had a sliver of knowledge about, but with each passing year, each passing season in my life, I've gotten more precise and accurate knowledge of who He is, and it always gets better, and it always makes Him more real to me, and His kindness and His love and His goodness and His grace, and His mercy and His confidence and faith in me, His faith in you. It's really amazing. It's beautiful. I pray that you would see that increase in the knowledge of Him and His goodness towards you. Number four, God wants to increase us in the love of God. He wants us to increase in the love of God. He promises, actually, He will increase us in the love of God. Now, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, but we need an increase of the revelation of it. We need an increase of actually feeling it. We need an increase of actually having confidence in it. And we need an increase in actually walking in it from God working it in us, out of us, into the lives of others. Because ultimately, Jesus said, all of the commandments are summed up in this: love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And the only way we can do that is by knowing His love. So may we increase in understanding the love of God. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 tells us that. Verse 12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. Boy, I've seen in my life where I haven't loved all people. I've seen in my life where certain people get on my bad side. They just rub me the wrong way. But I am believing God that God will increase me in, cause me to abound in my love for you, love for our love for one another and for all people. That kind of just brings it back to reality that you can't just choose to love some people and be loving towards some people. Doesn't mean you're going to be close in perfectly close relationship with everybody, but we can love all people. And why? Because the love of God is inside of us. Number five, God wants to increase you in seeing souls saved. Now, this you can look at maybe as a part of what God wants to do through all of us, but there's nothing better than that I've experienced than to lead a person to Jesus Christ, to personally lead somebody into an experience of receiving the gift of salvation. I've seen that happen in my life, through my life, and nothing quite can compare to that, because that person is now going to heaven because of the impact that you or I made in their life. And I want you to feel that, and I want you to experience that, and I want us to believe God will increase that in our lives. He says in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, and the word of God kept on spreading. Boy, that's our mission, to keep spreading this word. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of them were becoming obedient. Many of the priests, the religious people, were becoming obedient to the faith. They were already obedient to the law, but that doesn't save us. They were obedient to the faith. They were obedient to believe Jesus died for their sins and rose from the dead. That is powerful. But I want you to see the number of the disciples continued to increase. The number of disciples continued to increase. The number of disciples continued to increase. Every time you or I or anybody leads somebody to Jesus Christ, we have just brought another disciple to the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody who is now in the family of God and somebody who is now ready to become a follower of Jesus Christ. What an honor that we get to help introduce people to that Jesus. Our mission as a church has been to introduce people to the real Jesus. It's the first thing we say about our mission. We exist to introduce people to the real Jesus. And I believe God's going to send divine appointments in your life over the next few days, over the next few weeks, and God's going to give you the opportunity to lead people to Jesus and to introduce people to the real Jesus. We can't talk them into it, because if we can talk people into it, somebody else can talk them out of it. But we can introduce them to the real Jesus, and they can talk themselves into accepting Him once they see how good and how beautiful He really is. Number six, God wants to increase the church. Now, this season for the last 8 weeks has been what we've called our heart for the house, to really understand God's heart for the house of God, God's heart for His church, God's heart for His people. God relates to us individually as Father, but He relates to us corporately as family, as a church family. Think about it. In your family, if you have children, or if you in the family that you grew up in, your parents had a relationship with you, but it was individual, but it was also with other family members, the other children. In other words, each child doesn't have a relationship just with the parent and not with the rest of the family. Each child has a relationship with the parent and the rest of the family. And that's what the church is supposed to be, a relationship with God as parent, God as Father, and Holy Spirit, in the sense of what we understand a mother comes from the Holy Spirit. We have a relationship with God and with one another. That's the church. That's the church family. That's what God calls us all to. And it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. It continued to increase. So not only is there an increase of souls saved, but it's an increase in the church growing, in the church expanding, in the church reaching more people, and the church seeing more miracles, and the church seeing increase in healings, increase in salvations, increase in breakthroughs, increase in families being restored, increase in signs and wonders and healings and miracles, increase in the restoration of our soul, the restoration of our lives, the restoration of our families, the restoration of our finances, you name it. God is into increasing the church. When you get connected to a church, when you're connected to a church family, all the blessing and power and anointing that's in that church family is also in you and on you, and you're adding to it, and it's adding to you, and it's a beautiful mutual relationship, powerful, and should not be ignored and not be in any way underutilized or underemphasized or undervalued. Please value what God did in sending Jesus, not just to die for us, but to also create His bride, the church, in all her glory, sticking together, growing together, staying with it, and increasing because of the fear of the Lord, being built up, having the peace of God, having the comfort of the Holy Spirit continue to increase. And number seven, God wants to increase your resources and your finances. And I say two things, resources and finances, because sometimes you need something, you need a resource that isn't money related. It's maybe you need the right people in your life, or the right people in your business, or the right people, or the right idea. So God's going to increase you in resources and in finances, in both. In Proverbs 11:24, it says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, I want to read to you from the New Living Translation, God increases us and wants us to get to our world to get larger and larger, our impact to get larger and larger. In 2 Corinthians 9:10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way that he provides seed for the farmer, in the same way he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Notice what he says there. In the same way that God increases the farmer's seed, in the same way, and bread to eat, in the same way he will provide for you and he will increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So he's going to provide for you, then he's going to increase you, and then he's going to produce a great harvest through you, and then that is going to cause greater generosity, a greater harvest of generosity in you, which there's hardly any characteristic of a person that's greater than generosity and that's admired than in a person's life. Generosity is, boy, generous in compliments, generous in giving, generous in forgiveness, generous in kindness. There's so many ways to be generous. We're talking about increase in supernatural generosity in our lives. God wants to increase that in your life. And he wants to increase you in your finances too. And this is how he does it, through planting and through giving and through staying with it. And Job chapter 42, verse 10, it says, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold, which means he doubled everything that Job had, all the trouble that he had. God gave him double for the trouble. He took the trouble and he gave him double back, and double increased all of his fortunes. And I want you to see that if God would do that for Job when he prayed for his friends, maybe you and me should pray for our friends right now and realize that when we pray for others, God increases us. When we serve others, God increases us. When we give, God increases us. I want to pray for you first. I want everybody to pray about, and everybody, you've been praying about this, but everybody, let your heart move you to be generous today with our Heart for the House special offering. Because, and I want us to pray for the people in our life, because I want you to see this, keep this scripture up here. I want you to see that the Lord restored. So we learned that when we declare restore last week, when we declare restore, restoration begins to happen. But here also, when we pray for others, when we pray for souls saved, when we pray for our church family, when we pray for one another, the Lord increases our fortunes. He restores and increases. There's no bad that ever comes out of generosity. There's no bad that ever comes out of giving. There's no bad that ever comes out of praying. When he prayed for his friends, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job and increased him two times. I'm believing God for you. I believe that our generosity in Heart for the House is a form of prayer. Do you know that when you give, it's a seed? It's a seed that is praying. It's a seed that is prayer in action. You know that? When you give, it's prayer in action. And it means that you are putting wings to your prayers for them to be carried to where they're sent and where they're intended. And I really believe that if we will see how God has promised increase in our resources, and increase in soul saved, and increase in our finances, increase in the church, increase in knowledge and wisdom and the love of God and all the things we talked about, as we pray, our giving becomes a form of prayer, and increase begins to come, and restoration comes. And I'm believing that when we give, we're praying for more souls to be saved, we're praying for more healings and miracles, we're praying for more breakthroughs and deliverance, we're praying for more people to be reached, for more people to be plundered out of hell, and for us to prevent thousands from going to hell. by preaching the gospel with them, sharing the gospel with them, just introducing them to the real Jesus. And then miracles happen. Restoration happens. Increase happens. We're building up great rewards in heaven for the souls that we saved through the giving that we participated in and partnered with our church in. So I want to ask everybody to give your best gift. And I want you to take a chance. Sow big. Think big. Give big. And expect to receive big. Because that's exactly what's going to happen in your life. And I love what he says, and then we'll give, and then I want to pray for souls. But I want you to see this last verse in 2 Corinthians 9:10 in the Passion Translation. It's pretty powerful. It says, "This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant towards you. First, he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow." Oh, look at that again. He says, first, he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. He provides the seed as you sow it. As you sow it, there's going to be a provision, supernatural, to sow more, so there'll be a harvest of generosity. And a greater harvest of generosity will result in a greater harvest of souls saved. Lord, we pray for our friends. We pray for our families. We pray for the unsaved. We pray for all people. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our children, our parents, our grandchildren. We pray for the people in our lives that have not known you, the people in our lives that have not met you. We pray for them, and we're sowing the seed as a prayer for them. And whatever you put in our heart and whatever our heart is bold enough to give, Lord, I thank you that you will use it to supply and provide and cause a supernatural increase of a harvest of generosity in our heart for you, for your kingdom, and a heart for your church and your people, a heart for our house, a heart for your house. And we pray, Lord, that each seed that goes into the ground today is a prayer for salvations all across this world, and across all of our loved ones, family members, and the people that we care so dearly about. In Jesus' name, amen. Now sow your best gift, plant it, sow it, believe it's a prayer, treat it as a prayer, expect the answer, expect it to do what God said it would do. And now if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, I want to pray with you, and I want to have the opportunity and the honor of introducing you to the real Jesus and having you, as we pray together, you have the assurance, you can have the assurance that you're going to heaven when you die. Pray this with me right where you are. Heavenly Father, I invite Jesus Christ into my life. Just say that out loud. I invite Jesus Christ into my life as my Savior and Lord. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. And from this moment forward, I'm a child of God. If you prayed that prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, He answered. You're in the family now. The answer is yes. Jesus, come into my life. Okay. His answer is okay. Jesus, be my Savior. Okay. Jesus, I accept you. Okay. I'm there. I'm with you. It's over. You're never going to be lost another day in your life. You're never going to be lonely another day in your life. You're never going to be without God another day in your life. Woo! Congratulations. If you prayed that prayer, make sure to get a copy of my book. You can download it anywhere in the world. It's my gift to you, absolutely free. And The Power of a New Life, it's the next steps in this relationship with God. And please let me know. It would be my great joy to know that I helped introduce you to the real Jesus. And please, everybody, let's realize that our giving and our sowing and our heart for the house that's been for our global outreach, for our local outreach, for reaching the world, for evangelizing all into the languages that have never heard the gospel before, and so much more that Heart for the House consists of. Let's believe that every seed we've sown towards that, and every seed we're sowing right now towards that, is a prayer that will bring souls and bring families and bring people into the love of God and into the family of God. Thank you. You can give any of the ways on the screen as well. And I love you guys. I'm so proud of you. I'm honored and humbled and thankful to be your pastor wherever you are. I want you in the house. I want you in the building. If you're local, if you're near here, come on with us. But if you're anywhere else in the world, I'm still honored to be your pastor. And it's my pleasure to call you family. I love you guys and can't wait to see you at the next service. God bless.
Hey everyone, thanks again for joining us on the podcast. Remember, we are celebrating our Heart for the House season and you are invited to be a part of it. For all the ways you can be a part of Heart for the House, go over to gregorydickout.com/heart. You can give, you can find out what your giving is doing, and you can join us for our weekly worship experiences every Sunday live. So that's gregorydickout.com/heart, and have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next time.